Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Phyllis Pricer, your hostess for the Higher Dimensions, and welcome to our weekly show on BBS Radio, the internet station that brings you such wonderful programs. Today I have with me Ms. Sandra Lerner. She is a lovely person. She's from Las Vegas, and she's written a lovely small book called Connecting with Your Guardian Angel. And her book was written by Sandra and her guardian angel. And there are a lot of, it is a lot of information we get here. And we talk about what we do when our angels are with us, helping us at all times. We don't do psychic readings on this portion of a show. So if you're calling to get readings of future, no, we don't do that. Although angels can help us with knowing what's going ahead. What we'd want to do is focus on angels, their presence in our life, and the healing, and the meditation we could do, and how we can reach them, and the miracles that have occurred in Sandra's life. Sandra, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Phyllis. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much, and it's my pleasure.
Well, it's a joy to have you. I'm always happy to talk about angels. I've seen them off and on all my life. And
wonderful.
And they've been with me in times of deep trouble and in great joy. So I know the value of having a relationship with angels. But tell me a little bit about yourself and what you have gone through and how your recognition and contact with your angels has changed your life.
Well, you know, when I had contact with my angel, the first contact I had, it just so freaked me out that for years afterwards, what I did was just bury it in the bottom of my mind.
How old were you and what happened?
I was 22, and I was really a young 22 going on 10.
Okay.
And this was... Actually, I had been living in Los Angeles most of my life, but for a little while I went up to San Francisco, and I was living there when I had my first angelic visit.
Oh.
And I wasn't into anything spiritual. I was not connected with religion. That was the last thing on my mind. I was just a young 22-year-old woman. I was dating and palling around with my friends, things like this. And working, and the last thing on my mind was anything spiritual or religious.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll make a very long story short, because I do tell the whole story in the book, but it would take a lot of time to tell it here. However, what happened was I was having big troubles with my teeth, terrible troubles, and I had a mouthful of cavities, many of which needed root canal work. The dentist thought it would just be cheaper to pull out a lot of teeth. I didn't have the money to begin the dental work. I had an impacted tooth, and my face was swollen out to here. They couldn't do anything. Oh, it was terrible. They couldn't do anything with the impacted tooth until the pus all drained out of it.
Sure.
And this goes back to the 1960s. I don't know how they handle that today, but anyhow, I think it's the same thing because they got to be real careful, otherwise the pus
will... Absolutely. Into your entire organ system, yes. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
They have to get rid of the infection before they can do much of anything. You're absolutely right. Good. Go ahead, darling.
So, at that time I needed to come up with $500 just to begin the dental work. Mm-hmm. Well, $500 today doesn't sound, you know, that terribly much.
Oh, boy.
But back then it was probably equivalent to about $2,000 or $3,000 in buying power, you know.
Exactly.
So it was a lot of money. I was just a little old legal secretary supporting myself on my paycheck, and I just didn't have that kind of money. And I called my parents, and they didn't have it. So anyhow, I had this job, and I worked in a small law office, and I was a fairly new employee there at the time. And so the other secretary there had been there for decades, for eons, I think. She was a much older woman, and she was not terribly nice to me. And on Friday night, they would all leave early for the weekend, and they left me to sit there and answer the phones, finish my work, and then close up the offices at 5 o'clock. So they left that Friday, and because I was all alone in the office, I just gave vent to my emotions. I was just scared and depressed, and I went into a crying fit, and I was just crying my eyes out because I didn't know what was going to happen. Am I going to walk around the rest of my life with no teeth in my mouth? You know, because I couldn't even chew. I couldn't chew regular food. I was eating things like soft-boiled eggs and custard. You know?
I understand.
So, and right in the middle of this, of all this terrible anxiety and panic and depression, and all the tears are flowing, comes this blissful feeling. And this blissful feeling just overtook me, and just in a couple of moments, it all the crying went away, and I was just filled with feelings of bliss and peace. And it was as if the angel was taking me out on a trip through the universe. Now, I was seated at the desk. I didn't go anywhere, obviously. But in my mind, it was like we were traveling through the universe, and I could see all the galaxies. I could see everything, all the beautiful colors of the universe and the darkness and the light. And somebody was telling me in my head that everything was just perfect the way it was. There wasn't anything out of place. The whole universe, everything is accounted for in the universe. There's no such things as accidents. Nothing happens accidentally. There's no such thing as luck, you know. And it was very clear. It was like such a clear understanding and a seeing into. And, of course, as this was happening, I'm filled more and more with these blissful, beautiful, blissful feelings. And at the same time, too, there was this pressure pushing down on my shoulders. It was very powerful. Now, I didn't see an angel. I honestly didn't see anything physical. But I understood years later that it was an angel. And it's usually God's way of solving a problem. An angel is sent to solve whatever human problems we have. It's usually the angels that are sent to solve them. So this was happening to me, and it went on for quite some time. I don't know how long. I wouldn't have any idea, but it seemed to go on for quite some time. And the only way it ended was because the pressure on my shoulders was pushing me down so that my head was bending toward the desk. You know, and it didn't hurt. It never hurt me, but it was powerful. It was really powerful. So I just felt I couldn't take any more of this. That pressure was like very, it was very strong. So I shook it off, and in shaking it off mentally and physically, the whole thing came to an end. And then after that, I just didn't know what to make of it. Well, that evening, I was going to visit with some a friend of mine, Mary Ellen. And Mary Ellen was a blast. She used to like to go out and have a few drinks, toss down a few drinks after work. I had met her at work. And we met. We went to a little bar on Maiden Lane in San Francisco. I don't know what's going on in Maiden Lane over there now. But anyhow, back then, it was like an upscale little street. And we went over to a little bar on Friday night and tossed out a couple of drinks, and some friends would join us, and of course everybody would get a little high. We'd laugh and talk, and I thought, I can't tell this crowd about what just happened. They're never, they'll just think I'm weird. I mean, they you know, they're not gonna just look at me like I'm crazy. So I buried it. I didn't know what to do with the experience, so I just buried it. Anyhow, I won't go into the whole story, but my money did come through from a very, very unexpected source. My father, in the meantime, back in Chicago, had approached a cousin of mine who was very wealthy and who we didn't have really a whole lot of contact with, and asked him to borrow, if he could borrow the $500 down payment. So my cousin came out to California with the money, and that's how it got to me. About 2 weeks later, I get a telephone call, and my cousin Irv, you know, is giving me a check for $500. And my sister came up from L.A. with the money. And he gave her some money for a weekend in San Francisco and paid for her plane flight from L.A. to San Francisco and back. So that problem was solved so beautifully and so smoothly, you know. And that was the first angel visit. And nothing much happened for many years after that.
So life happened.
life happened. Yeah. That's exactly right. You're right. I buried the experience for such a long time. A year later, I remembered it, and then I buried it again because I was a young woman, and I was just busy with, you know, going out and getting involved with a boyfriend and telling around with my girlfriends and working, you know, and doing all kinds of things. I didn't know what to make out of that. I truly didn't, and so I just buried it for many years. And it wasn't until years later when I did get more spiritual and I got into spiritual studying that that came back to me. And then I really appreciate it. And lots of times I'll think about it now and I get new insights all the time into what was going on during that experience, which was so many years ago now. But I've had a few angelic visits since then. And every one of them, I'm always impressed with the power of the angels. In fact, I just wrote an article I'm publishing on the web and more about angels and the power of angels. We call them miracles, but, you know, I don't think they're miracles at all. I think in another dimension in the universe, what we call miracles is very natural. And live in a... we live in a limited three-dimensional world, and in the other dimensions where there is no physical body, where there is no physicality at all, I think more things happen than we're aware of.
Absolutely. We are. And in fact, my feeling is there are more things happen within our own world here that we are completely and totally unaware of because we have not open our eyes to that which is around us. I mean, how often do you walk down a street and somebody say, oh, did you see such and such? And you are a total blank. It made no impression. So when you open your awareness, when you tell yourself to be aware of what is going on around you, you would be amazed at the miracles that happen. For example, when I woke up this morning, one of the little things that happens is I happen to love birdsong. I really do love to hear birds sing. And as I woke up, I heard this bird singing that I associate with the spring. I don't know which one it was, but and I don't think it was a mockingbird, but it was one of the ones that really gets wrapped up into song, springtime. And I listened for several minutes to a beautiful, beautiful serenade. It just lifted my spirits and started my day off like you wouldn't believe. I was so happy.
That's beautiful,
So, and I just sent love out to that bird and let him know that he had an audience, wherever he was. I let him know because I believe that they can sense when someone is listening. And that, to me, was my miracle for this morning. And it's not a big one, but by golly, it works for me. You know, it,
yes,
it brings
right.
me back,
yes.
it brings
no,
me
you're
back
right.
into the now. Anyway, so I agree with you 100% on much of what you're saying. In this, you also, I read briefly, and, you know, I want to bring some more out, that you subsequently became ill again with another tooth issue. But this time, your dentist told you, or you went to see a doctor about a lump under your jaw.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Okay.
That started from, I think it started from teeth again, although one of the doctors said it would have happened anyhow. I don't believe that. In my lower right jaw, I had an impacted tooth back in 2005, and the dentist didn't do root canal work. He had to send me out to, I forgot what you call the doctors who specialize in that, but to a specialist, you know. And he gave me a very light antibiotic that wasn't working, and so again, you know, now here we are like some 40-something years later, and now I've got another impacted tooth over here. I've had trouble with my teeth all my life.
Yeah,
anyhow,
something to do with words, isn't it?
I inherited a lousy set of teeth. That's all I can tell you.
All right, blame it on your parents. Go ahead. That's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, blame the parents, right.
Probably the toilet cleaner. Wasn't very good. Yes, we got that.
It's easier that way, right?
It sure is. Go ahead.
Anyhow, again, we're swollen up. And finally, I went to see oh, I can't think of the name of the specialist, but anyhow, the specialist doctor, I'll call him.
Orthodontist?
Huh?
An orthodontist or an oral surgeon?
No, he wasn't either. There is a name for a doctor that specializes. He just does root canals, this doctor. That's all he does.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would be an oral surgeon.
No, he wasn't an oral surgeon. He was.
Well, they do root canals, yes. Well, that's what they do. But go ahead, honey. They might have another name for it. Endodontist is another name.
Oh, I think it was the endodontist. I think you're right. I think that's the word.
Okay.
So I went to see the endodontist, right, and he started working on me, and he had a friend who came in, and he was chatting with his friend while he's working on me, and of course I got all this stuff in my mouth. I can't say anything because they put, all cotton, all kinds of stuff in your mouth, but I couldn't comment, but I heard him talking to his friend, and he said, this is one of the nastiest I've ever seen. And it was pretty bad. He told me later on that had I waited any longer, it would have affected my health. But I think it did already affect my health.
Uh-huh.
And some months later, a lump came up under my lower right jaw.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what that was. It just, nothing ever occurred to me about it. I had no idea. The whole problem by that time was taken care of, and we had saved the tooth, and it had a fresh new cap on it, and it was over and done with. Finally, I must have showed it to a doctor or something, sent me for a test. The long and short of it is that they found that it was cancer. But they didn't know what kind of cancer it was. Nobody could tell me.
Uh-huh.
It's just cancer. So when I heard that, I just freaked out. I just totally freaked out. And I thought this was the end of my life. And I had another lump on the side of my neck. Another lump had come up on the side of my neck. And another one near the clavicle bone. I could feel the one over there. And I just saw cancer. This is it. I'm through, and I'm not going to have a real long life over here. This is it. And I really went into a panic, and I was calling friends and all that. Well, one day I went into a meditation. I don't know how I did it because I was emotionally disturbed, and it's not a way to meditate. You don't meditate when you're all
It's very
in a
hard
panic.
To meditate under those circumstances. Yes, you're right.
It truly is. So I went into a meditation. Eventually, I guess I calmed down in there. And then I just felt, it's so hard to explain, but under my right jaw where the lump was, I felt like love was circulating.
Uh-huh.
And I just felt this very powerful feeling of love. It's hard to explain, but I just knew this love was there. And it was like, it was a very clear experience, like being surrounded in that area with love. And later on, when I finally got to the cancer doctor, the oncologist, and he did a whole bunch of testing, and there was nothing in the marrow of my bones, because they test the marrow to see whether you have cancer.
Right.
He didn't see any there.
Right.
And then he sent me for surgery to take the lump out of from the clavicle bone so they could biopsy it better, because he said the original biopsy didn't give him enough information.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the long and short of it is that I do have lymphoma, but I didn't know this. There's 30 different kinds of lymphoma.
Wow.
And the kind of, I didn't know this. I heard, because you hear lymphoma and you go
You mean you think that's it, yes.
So he said that this was like so mild. He didn't even put me on medication. But about, later that year, I think it was 7-8 months later or something, I had a MRI on my leg. Something was bothering me, and they saw a whole bunch of these little lymphomic things on the bone in the leg. So he put me on some mild medication that really didn't hardly affect me. But I'm very lucky because it's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and you can live. He said, I'll probably die from something else. This usual will not kill me.
Okay.
So that was, truly good news, and I think it had to do with the angelic visit. I really do, and I think that was an angelic visit, and that whole feeling of love. I just it sounds weird to think that love is circulating under your jaw, but that's exactly what it felt like. That's what it felt like. So okay. I think the angels are there all the time. I believe they are, and I think we're always heard. I really feel that strongly. We're always heard, and apparently when I was having problems with the tooth, with the lump under my jaw, and I was all disturbed, uh-huh. apparently it brought the angel forth to help me out.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm so grateful. I mean, that's just something that's so touching to me. I'm very grateful for those angelic visits like that. You know, uh-huh. you feel like you're being watched. There's some other things that happened in my life. They're not all in the book. I couldn't put it all in the book, but my life was uh-huh. saved once on the freeway. It was uh-huh. just an absolute miracle. And I write about this now in this little article that I'm going to publish called The Power of Angels, and I'm publishing mm-hmm. on the web. They are there, and, you know, I know that many people have angelic visits, contacts with their angels, and many people have said they've seen their angels.
Uh-huh.
I saw just the face of my angel, which I tell you about in the book. I just saw the
uh-huh.
face. But some people claim to see the angels with all the light around them and so on. I've read a whole lot of mm-hmm. different stories. So
uh-huh.
some people have had some really beautiful experiences as well. And I think it's wonderful. I really do.
Well, my personal opinion is that, yes, their angels are with us all the time. We just need to call on them. As a Catholic, I was raised with the knowledge that we do have guardian angels. And I know sometimes my guardian angel screams, you know, Lord mercy, stop, Phyllis. He's on vacation already. There are some angels that work a lot harder for their dollar than we do.
That's cute.
But I have had angel visits. I was in an accident years ago with my children. They were sitting in the back seat, and I finally decided to get ahead of somebody who was driving as slow as molasses in January. And as I speed up to go around him, the son of a gun speeded up. And I speeded up even more, and we had a whole line of traffic behind us, and we were getting, you know, I was getting the finger and the horn. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden we came up to a two-lane, almost a one-lane road. It was out in the country. And I tried to get the car under control, and he swerved over towards me, so I had swerved a little left to avoid being hit, and I left the road. Let me tell you, that car was airborne as far as I was concerned. And turned the wheel to the hard right, and it was just, there was no traction at all, but I cut for a 45, 90 degree angle to the right. Across mm-hmm. the road, and as I did, I told my children to get down on the floor. There were no mm-hmm. seatbelts way back in those days. So I just yelled at them to get the heck on the floor and to stay there and to cover their heads with their arms. And then all of a sudden from the left, just as we started to leave the roadway over the embankment, I saw an angel come in.
Oh, wow.
And lift up the front of the left, the driver's side of the car, lifted up. And landed perpendicular to the road beside a snow fence. Now, we were heading at a 45-degree angle. How we landed, and we landed perpendicular. And then that darn car bounced up and hopped over the snow fence. So we were still perpendicular to the road. And, we were saved. We were saved. I think the worst thing was my child had a bit tongue. And the other one had a bump on its head. So, I was able to, they got the car out and it was towed, and there was a congressman who happened to be driving behind us, and he saw the whole thing and so forth and so on. So, you know, make a long story short, they did get the guy for leaving the scene of an accident and for causing an accident because of the congressman's testimony. But it was just the most, and the guy swore all along he wasn't responsible. He didn't do anything wrong. Couldn't get to his head what he'd done. But we were saved. Now, I had a compressed back from it and an injured neck, and eventually that healed under another set of circumstances where angels came to help me. But it was very, very strange. So, yes, have we had angels around us? You bet, especially when we're in danger. And the one thing you can do is you can call on them because they are there for you no matter what. Even if you don't feel anything, it could be that your own strong emotion is withholding that feeling of their presence from you.
I think that's true.
Because anytime you have need of angels, you have them. It's just a given. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're called messengers for a reason.
Yes, exactly. That's true. You're so right about that. In the book, I tell the reader the many different ways you can call on your angel, but the simplest and easy way is just to simply call on them. That's all. Just ask the angel to help you. And you may not always see it, like you say, or may not always be aware that help has come through. But I think a lot of times, I go through this in the book, and there's a whole lot to be said. I think our fears and our anxieties and our ego especially gets in the way. And I know that the best prayer is usually the one where you just give the prayer and you let it go. Just let it go. And that can be the hardest thing to do, though, sometimes when there's a problem and, you know, your mind just won't let it go.
We have control issues.
Control issues, exactly. And I talk about that in the book, you know. And, I mean, it's not that I have overcome that. I still deal with that myself. We all have that. We want to be in control, and we just can't wait for some angel to come and help us, you know. And so that's hard because you have to let go. Not that you have to, but it works best if you let go. However, you know, I have heard many times that our fears and our anxieties get in the way, and I think that
they
is often true.
They do.
But, you know, the two times when I had very powerful angel visits, is when I was in a state of fear and anxiety, in a terrible panic, you know, as like with the lump and with my teeth situation. And and it was during those times that the angel came and calmed me down, you know. So,
because you allowed the angel to do so. Okay.
Well, all right, that may be. Well, that may be, but they come in very powerfully. It was like almost irresistible. It was just irresistible. So,
and sometimes it's just a change in your attitude that is a result of an angel's visit.
Yes, I think that's so true. Very true, I think that if you want some kind of a resolution to a problem and you go out yourself and decide to do something, then you're not going to see, you know, an angel intercede on your behalf because... my experience has been that they really aren't allowed to interfere with our choices that we have. Part of this is what I've read, studying, and from my own experience as well. When we make choices, they cannot interfere with that.
Right.
Human beings, we have choice all the time. We are always at choice.
Right.
And I don't know that the angels, I don't know if they have choice or not.
The gift that the humans, and I think the angels stood around and said, are you out of your mind? The good Lord, when he created us, he said, free will, are you out of your mind? No respect intended, God. But I think that, you know, I have a feeling that God has a great sense of humor and laughs a lot. Simply because look at the human beings that we are, and if we can't laugh at ourselves, no one can. But
yeah,
the process
true.
That I have is the great love that we have for each other. And again, it doesn't mean that you just sit on your round rump and do nothing to help yourself or others. It's also that it's in times of crisis that they become most your allies. I've had a few, I had an out-of-body experience, and I guess you could call it as an angel. Could have been my angel, oh dear, who showed up. And I'm saying, oh dear, as that was just the other day, because I, I had an out-of-body experience, I saw my body lying on the couch, and there was a knock on the door, and, I saw my body still on the couch, and another part of me say, I'll go get it, and then get up and walk away from my body, so it was, literally an out-of-body experience. And then when I was opening the door and whatever was going on. The other thing is, from across, from the house next door, a woman leaned across and said, you know, I'm your other self and I'm here to help you. And I am not normally a rude person, to be honest with you, and I seldom open my mouth and insert my foot, but I sure did this time. I just looked at this rather petite woman who was not attractive at all.
And
said, oh, you're my other self. Yes, I'm another part of you that's coming to help you, and we can say angels are also that. And I looked, I said, I would have imagined you to be prettier and taller. And she looked back at me and said, and I wouldn't have imagined you to be so fat.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Talk about, as I said, I don't normally insult somebody, but whoever this being was came right back at me with a gotcha. So I could have been my higher self. It could have been an angel who was disguised in this, but it was pretty much an out-of-body experience because of seeing my body lying on the couch, being aware of leaving it behind.
Wow.
So that's kind of what I think you had when you were taken out of the body, too, when you saw the universe and all that was in. That is a very, if you're going to have an OBE, that is one of them to have, and it is a very powerful one. And I will tell you, no, you do not go around talking about it. It can take you years to be able to discuss this with yourself and with others. It is such a powerful transformer of your life. So, you know, what you went through, in my opinion, is that you went through a transformation and you were healed back then, and you have been working on that ever since. It opened a pathway that you have continued to walk. And we all say, oh, well, that was so long ago. But we tend to forget that our earth plane is a totally different timeline than is recognized by the universe, which doesn't recognize timelines. And I have gotten into the point of when I ask for help, I say, please use earth time, as in quick, not God time, not universal watches, earth time, okay?
Oh, that's cute.
We're talking days here, fellas, not centuries, okay? Got it?
Yeah. Oh, that's cute.
Well, yeah,
that's a way of looking at it. Yeah, I never didn't think about that so much, but you're right. I guess, I think they come through when you really need them, like at your accident.
Yes.
They didn't take entries, right?
No, they had to work real fast. No, that's true. They do come through at a pinch, I have to say that, but there are times when I do tell them, you know, and they say patience is developed, and I said yes, and patience was a little girl who had a dirty face. So can we move on with this already? Get something into me. Get stuff for me ready now. Yeah, I guess I deserve the smart aleck answers I get sometimes from angels.
That's cute. That's really funny.
Inspiration comes in all forms. You've mentioned some of the ways in which that you can reach your angels. Share with us, besides the meditation, but how you know an angel has graced you with its presence.
You know, it's usually with hindsight, because as I said, during my experiences, I realized, you know, many years later, after I got into more spiritual study, that these were angelic visits, and that... Because at the time that I had these experiences, nothing appeared to me. I didn't, like you say, you saw your angel lift up the car. Because I had a kind of a like experience on the freeway in Los Angeles where an absolute miracle happened, you know. Somebody was watching over me because I would have gotten killed and I would have killed somebody else. But it's more with hindsight that I realize these are angelic experiences. But one time in meditation, I've had a number of experiences within meditation. That first experience back in San Francisco, I was not meditating. As I said, I wasn't into anything. But one time in meditation, a voice came to me and said that my name is Gamby. And I didn't know who that was, but somebody was talking to me, of course, in my head, and it was very clear. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that was, so I didn't pay attention to it because, again, it freaked me out a little bit, and I just didn't mm-hmm. know what to make of that. So when I came out of the meditation, I went right back into my life and didn't think about it. And about a year later, I don't know, or months later, I'm not sure how much later, but anyhow, it happened again, and I think it was quite a number of months later. And again, a very clear voice came to me and said, "My name is Gamby." And again, I didn't know what that was. Well, the second time it happened, I came out of the meditation. I didn't know what to make of it. Who's talking to me and who's Gamby? Uh-huh. I don't know anybody named Gamby.
Uh-huh.
And I had to go up to the courthouse in Van Nuys. This is in California.
Right.
And I was driving up Van Nuys Boulevard, which is the main thoroughfare. It's a commercial thoroughfare and very busy. And the courthouse is right off of Van Nuys Boulevard. And anyhow, you can't get parking around the courthouse. It is always all parked up. It's very hard to find anything. So I was at a stoplight, and there was a little, I shouldn't say little, but there was a pickup truck parked at the curb because I'm looking to see if there's any parking spaces at the curb. Hopefully somebody will pull out.
Right.
And in the back of window of this pickup truck is was the name Gamby. It was written on a, I guess, a card he had pasted up there on his rear window, and it said Gamby. So somebody in the universe is trying to get me to pay attention and wants me to know that the name is Gamby. I just, for the longest time, I didn't know, was that supposed to be my name in a past life? I didn't know what to make out of it. But I think I've come to believe now that it's either a spiritual guide or an angel.
Yes.
And they want me to know their name, and I can call on them by using the name.
Right.
I don't think you need a name. I don't. If you want to call on your angel, I don't want anybody listening thinking that they got to know a name or else it won't happen.
Because
all
not
you have
great.
To do is just say, "Angel, I need you now," or "Our angel, please come to me," something like that. And you can say it in your head. You don't even have to say it out loud.
Exactly.
But in this case, a guide or somebody said it was a guide. I don't know. It's either a guide or an angel, and they're there.
Yeah.
And they want me to know that they're there. So it's taken me years, though, to get used to that, to really latch onto that and to know now that when I'm in trouble, I can call on Gamby, you know.
I think that
it didn't happen fast, huh?
I think that, yes, you're right. It's an angel. It's a guardian angel. And I think it's a guide as well, because they can be both, you see. There's not there's not any problem with them being both at the same time. I know I was told that I have a guide called Derek, for God's sake.
What's the name, Derek?
Derek, D-E-R-E-K. Hell, I don't know. I hear the name Derek and I want to laugh. For me, I said, Derek, what the hell is a Derek? You know, to me, it's a thing that, you know, you hoist things with, right? And I, you know, I'm thinking that's such a silly name. You know, a certain time, I guess my ego is supposed to be deflated around here or something like that, because Derek, you know, I just see this long thing
Derek
with a boy on the end of it.
Derek, though, is usually a guy's name. I mean,
it's a guy's name, and I have, and it's supposed to be a male, whoever it is. And well, that's nice and dandy, and so is James Derek, and so big deal. I really have to work to get through. And I mean, I don't impress easily. What can I tell you?
Well, you and me both. You and me both. Yeah, because every time these things happen, I freak out. I don't know what to make out of it, and then I just toss it out of my mind. I don't want to think about it anymore. Yeah,
I know.
It does freak you out. Yes,
Yeah, I think they're funny, too. I think, you know, that they're sitting up there and they laugh at me a lot, and I'm going, yeah, right, I could be a stand-up comedian, I suppose. But, you know, when I have need, truly, to get seriously down to it, lightheartedness is something that is very, very important in the spiritual world. And that's another thing I think that we should realize, too, and to take into account, is that we can laugh, and we are supposed to laugh. We cannot continue to take ourselves so seriously in the spiritual world, because it isn't meant to be that serious.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is so much laughter in life, and I am so fascinated by what's going on. It is just a wonderful thing to behold, and I just, I guess, you know, I am grateful to all that my angels are doing. I know I put them in overtime and overdrive half the time in my life, whether I like it or not, you know. They are. They do so much for me, and I am grateful. But then again, I thank them often. Again, I would like to agree with you that all you have to do is think the help that you need, and it is there for you. It's not a rigmarole. It's not a big, you don't have to build a shrine to them, because they're not all about what egos are. They don't need a shrine. They don't need special stuff, but a thank you now and again is not remiss. And that's just plain old common copper courtesy, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I do believe gratitude is important.
Yes.
Gratitude is important.
It
and I think the more gratitude, maybe the more often you will realize angelic visits, you know, or spiritual kind of support and help when you need it,
And I think they also speak in the inspirational phases of your life as well. When you get inspired by thoughts, that can be your guardians or your guides, your angels.
Yes, yeah, I believe
I think, and I think what people don't realize too is you have more than one guardian or guide protecting you in your life. There are several. There are several. There can be four or five, or there can be ten or more. And
All right. Now, this I really didn't know. This I didn't know. I usually think of a guardian angel as just one. But I did read, though, in reading about angels, I did some research before I wrote my book. And I know, I think it's out of the old Hebrew or Jewish tradition where they say at least one and very often more than one are are there from birth until death. Yeah.
Right. Their soul, they're one of their, not of their soul, but one of their missions is to take care of you. And again, as time is not reckoned the way we consider it here on Earth, for them it's the blink of an eye. So it's not that big a deal. But, yes, and that is why when people leave, your kids leave, when you have someone die, the house feels more empty where you live and your life feels more empty. And that's because so many leave. When one crosses over, when another human being crosses over, that they usually take with them a group, the group that was mentoring that person. So you have that feeling of really rattling around and it being very empty and very lonely, you see.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating. I love angels, and as I said, being raised a Catholic, they were a part of my life. And when I was little, I was very much protected. They really had to work overtime when I was a kid to keep me out of trouble.
That's cute.
They had to work overtime. I'm telling you, they probably have more bonus rewards than anybody I know. Anyway, so if anyone has a question about angels, I want to let our listeners know if they have a story about angels they would like to share, please feel free to do so, to call in and chat, and because I think we would all love to hear about how wonderfully angels worked in your life.
Yes, I very much enjoy that. Mostly, I've read stories about other people who've had angelic visits and had so-called miracles happen, and I always enjoy reading those, you know. I mean, it's like, it keeps confirming and reaffirming for me how wonderful the whole angelic realm is and what the tremendous power and beauty and majesty and bliss and all of it. Yeah, it's a wonderful feeling when an angel is working there. You just get the feeling of, it's perfect faith, just such peace. Mm-hmm. You know, when I had that experience in San Francisco, there was such a feeling of peace, just perfect faith. I just knew the whole universe. Everything is just perfect the way it is. There's nothing out of place.
Definitely, no question about it, an angelic, and what I would call out of body and angelic at the same time. Experience for you, and that has, as you said, altered the course of your whole life. And that's what these visitations often do. We're reminded of the biblical story of when the angel visited Joseph and told him to remove Mary and the child and flee to Egypt because of, Herod. So angels do come in our sleep. They still do. It wasn't in just in the Old Testament. It's not just to great things. It's to anything that is important to us, where we have a need of love and guidance and just the sense of presence of a higher being and knowing that we're not alone. So being aware of angelic presences is a great way to grow, I think.
Not only the angels hang around us also, but I think the spirits, the souls of the departed. And I wrote in the book about my mother, and I know an old boyfriend hangs around me. I was told that by a few psychics that he's around me. I had an experience with him, which is more in the psychic realm. I might tell you about that because it could be helpful to some of your listeners.
Sure.
His former boyfriend was a suicide, and he was when I was going out with him, and I was very much in love. He was not suicidal. He was not depressed. He was a very vivacious kind of personality of anything.
Right.
And he had everything going for him. He had just started his own law practice and everything was going for him. But he had an ex-wife who I think, I don't know why she was unhappy. You know what? I never found out what it was all about. But he, some years after we broke up, maybe about 6 or 7 years later, he committed suicide, and I didn't even know about it for about 5 years.
Hmm.
When I found out about it through some mutual friends of ours, I was just devastated. I just couldn't believe that happened to him.
Uh-huh.
So again, this happened now within a meditative experience. And I went into when I came home from work that afternoon, I was so upset, and I kept thinking to myself, I should have been at his funeral because I was an important person in his life. I was an influential person in his life. I feel like somebody heard me out there. Because in meditation now, I went down somewhere where I was sitting in what felt like a stone cave, inside a very dark cave. Not so dark that I couldn't see, but it was very dim in there. And I felt like I was in a place that nobody had been in there in millennia. I mean, nobody had been in that place, and nothing had moved in that place for thousands and thousands of years. I could feel that very clearly. And I was sitting there, and I was just told, like, to wait. And then I could feel him approaching me. So we had a little conversation telepathically, and it was a very short conversation. And I just told him I had been worried about him and how he was doing, and he reassured me he's okay. But he wasn't okay. I could feel the there was a lot of anger. There was tremendous anger coming off of him. And I could feel he just wanted to get away from me as fast as possible. He was very uncomfortable in my presence. And he was very disturbed. I could feel the anger, the disturbed all around him. Now, and then he left, you know, and he just faded away sort of thing. And later on, I've been reading more from Raymond Moody and some other writers about suicide. Suicides and murderers all have a terrible time on the other side.
Yes, they do.
And they go through, people who are considering murder or suicide ought to think about 5,000 times about it because you don't end it all. You do not end it all, especially for suicide, the notion that, you know, I'm so unhappy, I'm just going to end it all. No, because on the other side, it's even much worse.
Well, not only that, you have to come back and do it over again, and this time it's more difficult. So if you think it's bad now, wait.
That's why you have to come back.
You have to come back and work it through. You will not be able to avoid it. Go ahead.
I don't know why he was a suicide. I knew toward the end of our relationship, he seemed like he was being. He had troubles with his ex-wife, and they had two little kids. And I don't know what was going on there. He never. said a lot to me. I haven't found out since, and he wasn't telling me anything when I had that visit. That visit was just short. I just asked him how he was, and then he, you know, he just asked me politely, how are you doing? But I could feel him trying to pull away, like he didn't want to be there. And I could feel all the disturbance going on within him. But there was a lot of anger. I felt a lot of anger that I'd never seen coming off of him in life when we were together. He wasn't like that. So, suicide is, anybody contemplating suicide, it's the worst move you can make. Because from what I understand on the other side, it is a miserable, just a you don't end it all. They keep living on, and they keep living on with that experience that drove them to the suicide, from what I understand just from my reading.
Well, there's compassion. You have to understand, in my opinion, it is my understanding that there is a great deal of compassion, but they will have to, again, go through all their lives as we do. We have lives in other realms once we leave this earth plane. We don't just have a life on this earth plane. We have others that are in different dimensions. And what happens is that you get a respite from this world, but you are also obligated to move forward in growing so that you can deal with another lifetime in which you cannot opt out. And the sad thing is you have to keep coming back to get it right. See, that's the thing. So if you think you're going to get rid of something once and for all, under these circumstances, it's not true. It is not once and for all. It is simply got to come back and redo it, folks. You know, it's sort of like the Groundhog Day movie. You know, you just can't get away with it. And you're absolutely right. It's those who've gone ahead, and this is according to Edgar Cayce. Have you heard of Edgar Cayce?
Yes.
Okay.
I've read some of his stuff. Yes.
His work is magnificent. Anyway. And I have to say, from what I've learned, I agree with this, that you move forward and you learn and grow, but you do come back. But we can, of course, pray for those and send love and light and healing to them on the other side. That's what prayer is for. So by our good thoughts and our loving care and attention to others who have passed, we can help them find a way. So that's something we can do in praying for them and sending them loving thoughts, because what we do is send them light and compassion.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I agree with you there. Yes, definitely, very definitely. I'd like to just tell you...
go ahead.
I was reading, I think this was in Raymond Moody's book. I think it was The Light Beyond. It's in the other book he wrote after Life After Life.
Yeah.
It was the sequel. And I was reading a little passage there. I'm always interested now in reading about what happens with suicides because of my boyfriend. And there was a man who did commit suicide because his wife died. He just didn't think he could go on living without her.
Right.
And so he tried to commit suicide, but they brought him back. But he did have the experience. He went to a near-death experience, and he doesn't go into a lot of detail in this book.
Right.
He says it was really miserable. It's very miserable. And you keep living the same terrible, depressed state of mind. It just stays with you. It's even worse than it was on Earth. And he said he had the feeling for the brief time he was there that for murders and suicides, it's as if God gives you this gift of life and you're throwing it back in God's face, you know.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, so he that was the feeling he had when it's over there. God gives you this gift, and now you don't even appreciate it. You throw it back in his face, and he said, I guess maybe he doesn't say this, but as I'm talking to you, it seems like it's consequently you get punished for not appreciating the gift, for throwing it back in God's face like that.
I think that what we should say is you punish yourself, because it is you who did not forgive yourself, because you now have a greater understanding or greater perspective, and it is you who keeps yourself regretting and going over and over and over. God doesn't punish. We punish ourselves.
Well, that may be. I understand that, but in any event, this is what he came back, you know, he said that they go through terrible times. So you're not allowed to take somebody else's life either. You know, you cannot play God and decide that's the end of your life. So I kind of think there's a qualifying to that, and that is if your life is being threatened or you see somebody threatening somebody else's life,
yes,
you have an obligation.
Yes, you have an obligation to protect your own life or those of others, yes, as in war, we're talking about that. But then we're talking about an exception, and then you don't kill because you get to enjoy it. You kill only because it's of absolute necessity at that time. And that's why we are looking so hard to stop war. Because, unfortunately, once people get started on something, it gets to be a bad habit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You're right about
that.
And
that's something we really don't want to encourage. But, you know, all I can say is it's a fascinating subject and world that we live in. And it brings us to the never-ending story of how we pursue things. We're getting to the end, Sandra. I'm going to ask you to please talk about the name of your book and your contact information and where you can be reached, because we're almost where we have to sign off. The time has gone so fast today.
Wow, it sure has. It sure has. I've enjoyed this very much.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, the name of the book is Connecting with Your Guardian Angel, and you can purchase it at my website, which is called www.connectingwithyourguardianangel, and it's all one word, connectingwithyourguardianangel.com, and you can purchase the book there. I talk about a whole lot of different experiences and about making contact with the spirits, with the spirit world, and about our human responsibility and the spirit world and how we interact with them, how we trip ourselves up a lot of times. I think I have quite a bit of information there in the book about learning to forgive. We didn't discuss that today, but learning to forgive is so important. It's one of the most important things you can learn to do. That's a whole subject in itself.
We covered as much as we could, I think. I think we did rather good.
Yes, we did.
Well, thank you so much for coming on board, and I enjoyed having you and sharing with you, and perhaps we can talk again. Let me know. Don't be a stranger. And perhaps we can have
you
on again. Well, God bless you, and thank you so much. You have a glorious
week. Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, next week I don't have a guest, so I guess I'll be doing psychic readings unless I get a guest. And you have a wonderful week, and we'll be talking to them. Goodbye.